In these days of pandemic, in these days when life seems to be turned upside down, it's difficult to stay connected when you're isolated, when you're sheltering in place. For a church, it's equally hard to connect with one another when we do most of our connecting online, but it can work. One way we do that in our church family is we share together daily Bible readings. Bible readings that we're reading together, we're meditating on those passages together, we're praying over those passages together, and we're writing out those passages, literally writing them out in a notebook or journal. My journal, I know, is getting full because each and every week we're adding to it. It's helping us to take God's word, hide it in our hearts, which is what the scripture tells us to do. And it's a way that we can stay connected. Because I know as I'm reading the scripture of the day, you are too. This past week's readings may have taken some of you by surprise. We've taken the passage that begins in John chapter 1, verse 19, and reads through the opening verses of chapter 2. Where if you follow the chronology closely, you'll see that what John has done is he has outlined the first week, literal week, of the ministry of Jesus. After that amazing prologue, in the beginning was the Word, and reading all the way through verse 18 of chapter 1. Then in verse 19, he talks about what happened when John the Baptist was asked about Jesus. And then you follow the passages each and every day, and it will say, the next day he did this, the next day he did that. And as you count up the days, it's a week. It's that fourth day. It's a conversation that Jesus had with one of his disciples. He hadn't become a disciple at this time, but he was invited to join Jesus. His name was Nathanael. I've read that passage hundreds of times over the years. I almost know it by heart. I know Nathanael's attitude, but these past weeks, this past week especially, have driven home what this fourth day in the first week of Jesus' life, what it really was all about. And I want to tell you that I think what we can learn in just a few verses can change the way we treat one another, can change the way our country addresses issues. It can change our lives. So I want to pick up in that fourth day and ask you to read along with me. And then we're going to keep this idea in mind. Warriors, scouts, and farmers. Warriors, scouts, and farmers. You may say, how in the world do those three things have anything to do with day four of Jesus' ministry? Well, let's find out. God's word says this. The next day, he purposed to go into Galilee, and he found Philip, and Jesus said to him, follow me. Now, Philip was from Bethsaida, of the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, we have found him of whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. Nathanael said to him, can any good thing come out of Nazareth? Philip said to him, come and see. Did you catch in the inflection of my voice as we read through that passage that Nathanael had an issue? Probably issues. His response, what good thing can come out of Nazareth? It has a cynical edge to it. All you got to do is look back at probably Nathanael's upbringing, which we don't know much about, if anything. But for some reason, the man had already formed an opinion. He already had decided that he would write off Jesus simply because he came from Nazareth. What does that say about us? Well, I think the problem is basically many of us don't realize it, but we think we're right even when we're wrong. We think we have it together. We think we know the right path to go, when in reality we're wrong And that's what we got to deal with each and every day of our lives. And if this pandemic has taught me anything, it has laid bare my own stubbornness. It has laid open wide the fact that certain things, certain emotions drive Stephen in the decisions that he makes. And maybe they affect you in the same way as well. Have you ever heard of a TED talk? Back in 1984, there was a gathering of people, and they discussed three different issues: technology, entertainment, and design. And as a result of that, TED Talks came to the forefront. If you give a TED Talk, you have to limit your talk to 18 minutes or less, and you're trying basically to prove a point or to bring up something that will help all of us as we move forward in these days of uncertainty. There was a woman from Penn State University. Her name is Julia Gallup. She gave a TED Talk some years ago, and she was taking the idea of the motivations that help us or that affect us when we make decisions. She gives some historical illustrations, which are helpful, but she latches on to an analogy. An analogy that I can't forget. It's the analogy of the warrior, the analogy of the scout, and then we'll add to it a third one, that of a farmer. A warrior. Can you envision what a warrior is? What he or she does? Their adrenaline is always the highest level. Why? Because they're ready for battle. That's what they're created to do. They're ready to go to war. That's their training. It's evident in everything they do and everything they say. And a warrior stands on a soapbox from time to time. And a warrior will prove his or her point generally by being the loudest one to be heard. Warrior. They're needed, no doubt. But in comparison or in contrast to that is a scout. If you can envision a scout, not as one who is suited up with armor to go to battle, but one who has on the has just enough to take with him to get from one place to the next to discover new information. It's the scout that may stay kind of behind the bushes, if you will, may be cautiously making any and every step. They're climbing up in the trees to look out over the horizon of the bridge that we were told was there, and it's going to be very important for the battle that is before us. But the scout is the one who wants to gather information, who is looking at things with an open mind, because what he's been told may or may not be the reality. So he's seeking to find the truth. Sometimes you and I need to be warriors. There's going to be a time when we have to take a stand. But my question is, are we warriors yelling so loud that we can't hear anything that's said? And likewise, sometimes you need to be a scout. And sometimes the scout is one who is more interested in learning something than in lecturing people about a specific thing. You begin to see why this analogy has everything to do with the times we're living in today. The warrior, if he or she is out there and they're serious about their calling, then they're going to run into other warriors. You ever found that to be the case? And when you get a bunch of warriors together, then everyone is pulling out their sword and everyone's ready to go to battle. Everyone has not an opinion, but they have the truth. Warriors and scouts. There's a warrior in each one of us at some point. There's a scout in every one of us at some point. The issue is, which one motivates us? Which one are we depending on and relying on in trying to make tough decisions? Well, okay. You say, I get you, Stephen, cute analogy, got the warrior, got the scout. Well, let's bring it down to where we're living today. Let's take this analogy and let's apply it to what we're dealing with right now. Racial tension all over our country. The police, how they function, how they operate. Can they be trusted? The whole idea of Black Lives Matter. Everyone has an opinion about that. We're all over the map when it comes to that subject, what it means, where it originated, how we're to deal with it. Wearing a mask, something that on the surface would seem so easy, would seem so simple, but yet those who wear a mask, those who choose not to wear a mask, it's driven a wedge in our society from one end to the other. Some people see racism as systemic in our life, in our world. Racism that is pervasive in each and every level of life. They look at George Floyd's death and they say that this is not an isolated incident, but it is something that is pervasive in our entire country. I want to call these people social justice advocates. But then you also have some people who were on the other side of the racial question. They see racism as bad, but they blame individuals. You can't paint every single person with the same racial brush, if you will. There are certain things that may motivate people, and we got to be just as concerned with rioting that comes out of protest and looting and small business owners who lose everything because of violence. And I want to call these people traditionalists. Now, I know that's an oversimplification of a very, very serious problem. But just hang with me for a minute, because I think that in understanding that we're all over the map, the continuum between one of these extremes and the other, they just serve as a point of reference. Social justice advocates on one hand, traditionalists on the other hand. Now, have you ever talked with a traditionalist who was a warrior? They're angry about being called racist. They argue that Black Lives Matter is a phrase that cloaks a lot of anti-white, anti-institutional, harmful to society baggage. They think that woke folk are not only tearing down statues, but are tearing down our sacred institutions. They have no interest in listening to self-righteous, politically correct, entitled social justice advocates. Have you ever spoken with a traditionalist who was a scout? They're concerned about law and order and fear the political correctness police are taking over to the harm of individual liberty. But they also see the George Floyd video and the demonstrations and are asking what they have been blind to and how they might need to open themselves to understanding something new about the sins of our past and present and how we may need to change things. Have you ever talked to a social justice advocate who was a warrior? They're quick to call people racist and accuse others of white privilege and censoring, and use other new terms that if you don't know exactly what the term means, they use that as proof that you're out of touch in exhibiting that systemic racism and privilege. There is no room for disagreement with them. You're either all in, admitting your personal guilt, or you are the problem. They have no interest in listening to privileged, self-centered, heartless traditionalists. Have you ever talked with a social justice advocate who was a scout? They still see and feel and believe in the painful and disturbing reality of racism. But they don't see every policeman as an enemy. They have mercy on traditionalists who aren't yet convinced. They avoid name-calling and jargon. They're patient with those who disagree with them. And they're willing to admit that when others who believe what they do have gone too far in their advocacy. You see, folks, it's not as easy as we make it out to be. The things that motivate us to make the choices that we make, the attitudes that we have, and yes, the pressure has been added because we've been sheltering in place far too long, many of us think. I can't disagree with that. But we have, on top of a pandemic, we have racial uprisings. We have the tearing down of Confederate statues and everything that goes along with it. We can't even agree on whether or not a mask is going to help out in this situation. And we find church people who are at odds with one another. Could it be because we've got a lot of warriors, but we don't have enough scouts in our midst? Once again, I know it's an oversimplification for some of you, but I think the truth is there. And we've got to do something about it. Well, I said, you've got your traditionalists, your social justice advocates, you've got your warriors, you've got your scouts. But I want to add one more to the mix, the farmer. You know, if you're reading the history of any battle, any military maneuver, and it goes back to a whole lot of those battles that are pictured in the Old Testament, what do you have? You have an army that is marching and is going to invade an enemy. But what do they have to do to get where they're going to go? They have to traipse through and stomp through and pass through the land of a farmer who really has no issue in the fight one way or the other. The farmer is concerned with his crops, with making sure that life is as it should be, as it's always been. They want to tend their crops and they don't want to be bothered. They can give passive support to warriors and scouts. Every once in a while, you may talk them into taking a stand, but for the most part, the farmer is just simply wanting things to remain the same. Don't bother me with the details, the farmer may say. And that's where they are. That's where they're going to continue to be. Folks, my opinion is that most of us are farmers most of the time. That's the reason the status quo has remained such throughout centuries of obvious discrimination against people of color. That we have a lot of farmers in our society. We have a lot of people who don't want to be bothered, who don't want to rock the boat, if you will, who simply want to be left alone. So you got your warriors. They're out to destroy the enemy. And they can be real sweet about it at times, you know. You got your scouts. They're looking for truth. If there's one thing to be said about that tendency to lean that way and to live life as a scout, it's that your mind is open. You could be wrong. And a scout is always one who's willing to understand that and to have one's mind changed. And then you got your farmer. And I understand, seriously, I understand that there are way too many issues out there. There are so many things pulling you one way and the other. Families that are just trying to figure out, you know, how to raise their children in these days. What's school going to be like in this coming year? There's so much to deal with. So many issues that are before us. And it is hard to jump in the fight, especially when things seem to be going pretty well for you and yours. But what about the simple fact that there could be one or two at the most, one or two issues that tug at your heartstring, that deserve more than just a leave me alone attitude? Maybe it's time for many of us who are farmers based on our temperament. Maybe it's time for us to wake up. In other words, I guess what I'm saying is, since all three of these character traits can affect us all individually, we can be a warrior at times. We can be a scout at times. And too often, we're farmers and want to just wash our hands of everything that's involved in taking a stand. But maybe it's time for us to realize that our present day approach is not the right approach for this moment. Can you hear me? Maybe the attitudes that we have, maybe the social media posts that we put out there, maybe they're tinged too much with a warrior's tone. Maybe we need some more scouts out there who are asking questions, not to condemn people, but simply asking questions in order to discover the truth. Because you know, folks, maybe, just maybe, our attitude right now about so many things, and for me, it's going to center upon church. I can't help it. This is my calling. This is my life, and it is for so many of you. But maybe the way we're treating one another, maybe the way we're making decisions and our response to those decisions, maybe our approach is not the right approach for the moment. You know, it's been said that if you want to get a group of people to build a ship, you don't enlist an army and send them out there to grab the materials that are needed, the wood and the cloth for the sails. You don't need to divide up all those people, all those workers, that army. You don't need to divide them up and give them certain tasks and responsibilities and give them, you know, a deadline for this or that. You don't have to do any of that. What you have to do is you need to give your people a yearning for the open sea. To give each one of us not just a task, not just a directive or an order, but to give each one of us a yearning for more. Back to Nathaniel. He comes across as a warrior there at the beginning, doesn't he? What good can come out of Nazareth? Already made up his mind. Wasn't going to be changed. Was going to fight anyone who tried to tell him things were different than what he had already decided. But you know his friend, remember what he told him? In response to what good can come out of Nazareth, he said, "Come and see." And that's exactly what Nathanael did. And it changed his life. Warriors, scouts, farmers. I yearn for the day, for the time when we're gathered here together again, just like so many of you. And we're heading in that direction. We'll get there. But let's get there in such a way that we honor the Savior who gave his life that we might live. Let's be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ has forgiven us. Let's pray. Father, these days are uncertain, but you are certain. These days are frightening, but you have told us to not be afraid, that even though we walk through the darkest of valleys, you are with us, that your leadership, who you are, is all we need. Father, I pray, asking you to forgive me of my warrior spirit at times. I want to be a scout. I want to be one who is looking for truth, who is slow to condemn. And Father, I pray for the majority of my time where it's spent cultivating my own land, where it's spent just taking care of mine and those who are part of me. Forgive me of apathy. I yearn for you, Lord. This is our prayer. In Christ's name, amen.